Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. Doesn't time fly? I'm pleased to be back with you again. As usual, I have a very good message from Sheldon Nidal this week, one that I shall read all the way through. It's of the nature where you really can't take any part of it out, so I will get on with that. But I do have some interesting news items. There never seems to be any lack of information on that side. There are a few things running at the moment, of course, and I suppose it's obvious that there will be plenty going to and fro. I have a UFO item as usual, one from the 1960s, and I'm determined to get round to my file that contains messages of a spiritual nature and otherwise. I think that's achievable today. I think last week I had quite a lot of news items. Not that that's bad, but it did take up a lot of space. So I will start with Sheldon Nidal's Tuesday message for the spiritual hierarchy and the Galactic Federation. It reads, to start, there is the matter of altering your global banking system. At present, this system is a dinosaur that has not greatly changed since its creation in the late 18th and early 19th centuries. This horror has enabled the major banks of Europe and America to struggle most of the world in a web of debt that grows more deadly by the day. This system needs to permit massive debt forgiveness and to be reformed into a world institution that actively promotes individual and national abundance. To this end, three main reforms were instigated. First, the badly needed redoing of the Dumbarton-Oaks financial agreements was begun. This covert process included more than six major meetings in the last 9 years, leading to a series of concords on how to end the present inequities of discount banking. Tied to this was a study of how to better direct the workings of the nine major central banks. The second of the three tasks involves the dismantling of the major central bank on your world, the US Federal Reserve Bank. This is not a true central bank, but rather an aggregate of major private banking interests in the US, Europe, and the UK, and it became the institution at the very core of the post-World War II financial system. The Federal Reserve Bank's power grew with each passing decade until the turn of the millennium was reached. At this point, the new financial realities, along with the near collapse of the Fed's monetary policies, made it quite clear that this private central bank had to be morphed into a true central bank with a new set of priorities. Hence, the concept of a bank run from the US Treasury Department was proposed. This new bank has now been secretly built by various parties, both and within and without the American government. To overthrow the Federal Reserve Bank is to force an immediate rethinking of Dumbarton Oaks. Indeed, the entire currency trading and international loan industry are based upon the edicts stipulated in the Dumbarton Oaks agreements. The third prong of these major reforms is global debt forgiveness. This provision is essential in order to both justify and legitimize the first two components mentioned above, namely the new, friendlier international banking system and the transformation of the Federal Reserve Bank into a central treasury bank. Debt forgiveness permits the old oligarchy to let go of its former power by first recognizing its inherent illegality and second, by returning this world to a relatively level playing field. In this new dispensation, massive global abundance could become a reality, and the exigencies of common law again become standard. Consequently, the new national state envisioned in the above reforms will become commonplace. The importance of a system of national and global debt forgiveness, therefore, cannot be overstated. The present system, as noted above, is empowered by debt. So in order to dissolve its grip a comprehensive debt forgiveness procedure is to be instituted. At the apex of this pyramid are the prosperity programs. These are the first thrust of a means to make a new world. The abundance programs derive from two principal sources. The first is the Saint Germain World Trust. This was the sword of Damocles created by Saint Germain as part of the process leading to the present fractional banking system. Saint Germain gave the old oligarchy a powerful weapon that was tied to a time bomb designed to activate at a predetermined date. Prosperity for the lightworkers was to be a tool to reallocate wealth and ensure that the control of the powerful elite cabals became fatally eroded. In this time of changing fortunes, a new, fairer reality was to emerge. The various factions at the core of our Earth allies also knew of the cabal's fierce desire to evade this potential time bomb. They came together initially to forge a second series of programs to ensure that some form of prosperity be unleashed. Their intent was that these other prosperity programs act as a catalyst for revealing the divine purposes of Saint Germain. Wealth in your limited consciousness realm is the very source of power. Accordingly, the Ascended Masters saw how important it was to give the global cabals a sort of time-release poison pill. Between the 14th and 17th centuries, the cabal swallowed a number of such instruments. Paul the Venetian, Hilarion, and El Moriah preceded Saint Germain in putting forth concepts that promised much wealth, and that indirectly were designed to aid the true light workers in gaining ascendancy at a prescribed future date. Saint Germain then took these first proposals and improved upon them. Nevertheless, the ultimate puzzle was how to ensure that this carefully thought-out scheme be divinely completed when the proper moment arrived. Our Earth allies were determined to see that this did indeed happen as scheduled. This led to a series of abundance programs, initially masked as grandiose giveaway programs with some very strange intentions. The purpose of these programs expanded in the 1990s, just as a number of legal cases dealing with the legitimacy of the Federal Reserve Bureau and its many financial relatives reached final settlement. These positive decrees, linked to the work of our first contact personnel, started to create relationships that eventually forged the conditions that drew us all together in the late 1990s. We then saw that our victory needed a coalition sharing one commonly held view, namely, this present global system stood in the way of our victory. To win this fiscal war, the prime requisite was our joint ability to unite and learn swiftly how to trust one another. It is this acquired trust that allowed us to overcome some considerable obstacles. Bear in mind that you are swamped in a barrage of misinformation, and that the timing of our actions cannot be announced. Just know that this moment is indeed close. The question now is simply, how close is close? This, my friends, we cannot divulge for obvious reasons of security. Our only option is stealth, as the last dark cabal has pulled out every illegal stop to stay in power. The way of the light is to lull the dark into a feeling of self-confidence. The rumour mill designed to confound and frustrate the curious and needy grinds on. Yet do not lose heart from these misdirections. We are working carefully and with great diligence. These operations are closely guarded and securely carried out. Hence, we need to use the words near and soon to give you an assurance that we do not stop and that we are progressing as planned. Our Earth allies equally are dedicated to our mutual victories. Thus we ask you, as always, to remain patient and prepare for any action that may be required. First contact ends a period that saw this dark cabal rise to a level of near total dominance. At the core of this process was a UFO cover-up that worked as a front to disguise the dark's many programs for creating advanced technologies and developing various cunning techniques for mind control. All of this was geared to their sinister resolve to undermine your ongoing collective growth in consciousness. As this growth in consciousness is divinely ordained, you can see that it cannot be prevented or even delayed beyond the parameter set forth by the divine plan. This fact inspires us to move forward each day and to remain confident. Our inevitable triumph must never be lost sight of in the mental miasma that constitutes the causal nature of this reality. Remember that together we are indeed victorious. Now, I think that was a very important message. It confirms once again that the prosperity programs are linked to first contact. It also tells us the reasons why they can't be specific about dates, although there are other sources that are channeled which do come up occasionally with actual dates. But obviously in the past these have come and gone without any ill effect, I guess, except that a lot of people start to get frustrated because they're very anxious to see something happen, and they can't get much of an idea of when that will be. I have to confirm that somewhat earlier in the year, which is what I think I mentioned in the last program, there was a fairly firm indication that first contact would at the very least be started before the end of the year. And I think it will come up rather suddenly, and there are a number of events taking place whose conclusion might be the start of first contact. So we wait and see what happens. Now, in my general news, one of those events may well be the funds which are being claimed by Ambassador Leo Wanta. And I think this one is going to roll and roll. There's going to be a lot come out about it. Unless something happens quickly, I think it's going to become the big news of the day, if not already. Now, a report came out from worldreports.org, which I think is a news website, and it was saying that 100% of the accruals derived from the illegal trades in using the Leo Wanta's funds, which are the property of him, upon which his tax is payable. They say that however deviant the financial organisations and officials engaged in this organised criminal activity are stashing the resulting accruals offshore, deploying them to fill holes in accounts or to rectify gross miscalculations such as the monumental unanticipated costs of financing the sterile Iraqi and Afghanistan conflicts. And all of a sudden, the head of the Congressional Budget Office, Donald Marion, has today announced that the projected visible federal budget deficit will emerge at $260 billion, some $400 billion lower than previously estimated. This neatly covers up the grotesque consequences of the US budgetary profligacy of recent years. According to Mr. Marion, the main reason for this suddenly favourable federal budget development is that wealthy individuals and corporations, for example, Ameritrust Group Inc., which is to pay over tax at 35% of full value, will be paying more tax than expected. But the real reason is that the official parties will have diverted funds from off-balance sheet sources, including the assets belonging to Ambassador Leo Wanta, to cook the books. Now, the report goes on to say that in a massive, officially sanctioned illegal money laundering carousel that has been ongoing, with the full knowledge and participation of the corrupt US Federal Reserve ever since November 2005, an estimated $25 trillion of related funds has meanwhile been diverted into India by the American authorities and others in order to remove the funds from the immediate spotlight being shone into the eyes of the criminal gangs operating at the very heart of the US government and its structures. Specifically, the proceeds of these fund washing operations are placed back onto the books from which funds were diverted, with the self-enrichment profits being transferred to India in the form of bonds. The key perpetrators of these continuing frauds include the President and Vice President of the United States, George W. Bush Jr. and Richard Cheney, the Chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, Dr. Ben Bernanke, the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Donald Rumsfeld, and also two successive Secretaries of the Treasury, John Snow and Henry M. Paulson. And the report says that without going into excessive details, the illegal operations have the effect of laundering US dollars, including American taxpayers' funds, of course, off the books in collaboration with corrupt foreign officials and elected leaders, with the crooked illegal proceeds being placed back onto the books where holes created by previous organized financial scams need most urgently to be plugged. These ongoing frauds sanctioned at the highest levels enable past giga financial scams to be covered up while holders of high office participate in successive fraudulent transactions off the books with corrupt foreign counterparties, lodging their illegal untaxed profits offshore. The attitude of the criminals involved is that the purpose of hiding, the purpose of holding high office is self-enrichment rather than serving the US nation and the abused American people. The senior figures concerned, both domestically and abroad, need to be subjected to a full net worth test, not least so that appropriate tax demands and associated penalties can be levied on their ill-gotten gains and other appropriate sanctions imposed against them, as provided for by national legislation. And there's an item here that says that Leo Wanter calls for 100% transparency for all transactions to be properly taxed and conducted on the books, and he threatens to expose all these untaxed, illegal, past and ongoing transactions, which will be with devastating consequences for the perpetrators under the present and past three US administrations. I read little bits out of what was otherwise a long report. There was one comment made, and it reads, as one anxious US intelligence operative associated with George Bush Sr. put it in an unsolicited telephone message left on the editor's New York voicemail in May 2003, quote, "We need to talk. None of this must ever come out, you understand." Thereafter, the editor determined that come what may, this is precisely what needed to happen. Some of these parties and others have been also fraudulently using Ambassador Wanter's funds illegally borrowed without his consent to generate overnight windfall accruals, thereby becoming co-conspirators and accessories to the fact of fraud committed against Ambassador Wanter and his corporation, the US Treasury, eight foreign powers, and the American people, who stand to benefit from the proper disposition of the $4.5 trillion in accordance with the underlying legal documents and President Reagan's instructions to Ambassador Wanter and the relevant presidential protocols. Goes on to say that Ambassador Wanter's treasurer orders the $4.5 trillion to be credited. And it was on the 14th of August this year that Mr. Michael C. Cottrell, the Executive Vice President and Treasurer of Ambassador Wanter's Corporation, instructed in writing that the Secretary of the Treasury, Hank M. Paulson, order the immediate transfer of the $4.5 billion for the securities account of Ambassador Wanter's Corporation, which is a Merit Trust Group, Inc., at a prominent Wall Street securities firm, where in response to the due diligence documentation submitted by Mr. Cottrell, it has qualified for and is in possession of the necessary U.S. securities account number with the major institution concerned. And it said that copies of Mr. Cottrell's instructions were conveyed to Mr. James R. Wilkinson at the Treasury and to President George W. Bush. And On the 14th of August, Mr. Cottrell was able to reconfirm that the funds are held in the said non-depletion, non-callable, secured US Treasury securities account at Goldman Sachs and Company and would be available on the 15th of August 2006. These assurances turned out, as is now commonplace, given the breakdown of institutional integrity and trust, to be false. So that's it. There's a few extracts from, I think it was something like a 10-page report on the website worldofreports.org, all about Ambassador Leo Wanter's funds. Now, Dr. Robin Myers is the minister of the Mayflower UCC Church in Oklahoma City. He's a professor of rhetoric in the philosophy department at Oklahoma City University and author of Why the Christian Right is Wrong. And he has come out with some comments, and he said, quote, "For 5 years now, we have watched the most secretive, the most belligerent, the most paranoid, the most inept administration in American history destroy both our reputation around the world and any chance to repairing the rift between the West and militant Islam. George W. Bush is a terrorist dream. Osama bin Laden would love to see him become president for life. Unfortunately, while millions of Americans are finally waking up to this nightmare, many of them still believe that just complaining about it or signing a petition or shuffling a few politicians or writing a letter to a president who doesn't read will save the day. It won't. What I've called the first Christian fascist regime in America is depending on all of us to think we have done something good just by saying, isn't it awful? Ramsey Clark put it best. Has democracy become a spectator sport, or will we be players? One organization in this country believes we should be players, and they believe in the fierce urgency of now. The world can't wait. Drive out the Bush regime is calling all to march again to participate in the largest ever anti-Bush rally on October the 5th. And Dr. Robin Myers says, but first we need to organize. And at 7 p.m. on September the 7th, meetings will be held all around the country to plan for a mass protest just 1 month later on October the 5th. And he says, go to the website worldcan'twait.org and you could find out where the meetings are being held. But of course, that was yesterday. And he also says, make a contribution to World Can't Wait, because the full-page ads in the New York Times cost money and the forces arrayed against us are well-financed. Whatever you do, he said, don't do nothing. Time for doing nothing has passed. This is our moment. There we are. There's someone else who, shall we say, is a scholar and who's determined certainly to do something about it himself. That's one of many organisations that are heading down that path. Now, of course, you obviously can't keep President Bush out of the news, and I have another one here from truthout.org. This is a part extract from an article which was called Challenging the Culture of Obedience, and it was written by Ross C. Anderson. And he's talking about the time when President Bush visited Salt Lake City on August the 30th to promote his policies in Iraq and the war on terror. Salt Lake City Major Ross C. Rocky Anderson delivered his address at a peace rally outside City Hall that drew more than 2,500 people. Now, had you been on this website, you could have actually watched the video, which they have available. And the article reads that a patriot is a person who loves his or her country. Who amongst you loves your country so much that you have come here today to raise your voice out of deep concern for our nation and for our world? And who among you loves your country so much that you insist that our nation's leaders tell us the truth? Let's hear him. Give us the truth. Give us the truth. Give us the truth. Let no one deny we are patriots. We love our country, we hold dear the values upon which our nation was founded. And we are distressed at what our president, his administration, and our Congress are doing to and in the name of our great nation. Blind faith in bad leaders is not patriotism. A patriot does not tell people who are intensely concerned about their country to just sit down and be quiet, to refrain from speaking out in the name of politeness or for the sake of being a good host, to show slavish, blind obedience and deference to a dishonest, warmongering, human rights violating president. That is not a patriot. Rather, that person is a psychopath. That person is a member of a frightening culture of obedience, a culture where falling in line with authority is more important than choosing what is right, even if it is not easy, safe, or popular. And I suspect that person is afraid we are right, afraid of the truth, even to the point of denying it, afraid he or she has put in with an oppressive, inhumane regime that does not respect the laws and traditions of our country, and that history will rank as the worst presidency our nation has ever had to endure. There we are. So that's part of a speech that was given. And so you see again that there is a lot happening to try and bring about those changes in the government, which, according to Sheldon Idle and the Galactic Federation, will bring us the first contact changes, and then we can get back to a peaceful coexistence. In the Washington Associated Free Press on the 5th of September, there was a small article in there which I simply mentioned because it was about former soldiers and parents of Americans fighting in Iraq who opened an anti-war, anti-Bush camp democracy in the heart of Washington. Now, I think that's actually related to the earlier article that I read. So that is another report appearing on another part of the web. Now, Paul Joseph Watson is on the prisonplanet.com, and on the 4th of September, there was one of these weekly write-ups about 9/11. It obviously will never go away until there is a proper commission inquiry. And it was talking about another family member has gone public to rubbish the conspiracy theory that the attacks were planned and executed by 19 incompetent Arabs with box cutters who were getting drunk in a strip club the night before and barely even made it to the airport on time. Meanwhile, hit pieces against the 9/11 truth movement continue in the lead-up to the 5th anniversary of the event. A familiar emotional shell game on the part of the debunkers is to proclaim that questioning any aspect of 9/11 disgraces the memories of the victims. This tactic is clearly not working out anymore, especially in light of the fact that Bill Doyle, a representative of the largest group of 9/11 family members, says that half now completely distrust the official version of events. And Bob McElhavane's son Bobby was working for Merrill Lynch in the 103rd floor of the South Tower when Flight 175 struck. He was likely one of the unfortunate individuals who obeyed the Port Authority's ridiculous order for workers to stay in the building and not evacuate even after Flight 11 had ploughed into the North Tower. McElhavane is convinced that the attacks were an inside job orchestrated by elements within the US government. And there was a quote by McElhavane who told the London Independent, and I quote, "Today, there are no ifs or buts in my mind that this was an inside job. The US government orchestrated it with the help of M16 and Pakistan and Mossad. What they're telling us is bullshit. The hijackers were patsies and Osama bin Laden was set up." McElhavane said, as I mentioned, that to the London Independent. Whether that actually made the press, I don't know. But it said that McElhavane has since devoted his life to educating others on what really happened on 9/11. So there we are. Yet another group or another person who's going to form groups and go out there and say his piece. Now, another unusual one that's cropped up, and I haven't got the source here, unfortunately, but it came up on Monday, the 4th of September, and it mentioned that a former Israeli army captain was telling his troops just to walk away. Now, that's quite astonishing, isn't it? Because last week I read you from an article talking about troops on the Lebanon front who mutinied. And there is a quote here from this army captain, and he said, "I did that more than 4 years ago, and you can too. I left the borders of my ghetto wall country without thinking about pensions, insurance, mortgages, or ultra gadgets. Although there are, of course, grey areas on this subject, if each of us would take care of our own garden, we would live in a better world. As a former captain in the Israeli Defense Forces, I'm also calling on all Israeli soldiers to drop their weapons wherever they are, to take off their uniform and just walk away. Don't worry, no one will harm you for acting decently." There are, that's all there is from that little extract. But things are happening, aren't they, all over the world. There is certainly a new mood amongst a lot of us where we have reached a point of being absolutely fed up with the warmongers of the world, and we want to put a stop to it. We want peace, and I think in the end the people power is going to come out on top. Now, I've got one little item here on Nasara. I think the main source of information these days seems to be Patrick Bellringer on the 4winds10.com site. But as I sometimes term them, this again is, as far as I can see, one that got away. Because published on the 1st of September, he was talking about the Nasara mission and delivery of what is called a Merkel letter, that is, Chancellor Merkel of Germany, and saying that the order, which I gather was to release Nasara funds, was stopped. And it was stopped apparently for two reasons. Firstly, because Michael Chertoff, the US Secretary, Department of Homeland Security, ordered under DHS laws anyone receiving the Merkel letters was to be arrested as a terrorist and incarcerated. And it says a recent example was Warren Jeffs, who was arrested by the FBI in Las Vegas, Nevada, on Monday, the 25th of August this year. He had cashed his $75,000 check and also had in his possession 39 Merkel letters for his people. Secondly, Bush Blair, the Israeli crime family, had threatened the lives of Chancellor Merkel and her entire family if she did not stand down with her actions supporting the Nasara mission. I find that incredible to believe, but then we're living in an age when everything is believable. You become astonished at the stories you hear and you think that can't be true, but dare we say that none of them are not true. Now, apparently, when this email came out, it then said that delivery of the Merkel letter is proceeding swiftly today, so that was on the 1st of September, and with the Nasara announcement planned for that evening. Now, to my knowledge, Nasara wasn't announced on that evening, and I haven't been on to the 4winds10 site to see if there is a further report or explanation. And I certainly haven't seen anything about it come my way via the emails. And for the next week or two, I certainly won't see anything because, for one thing, I'm changing my email address, which means closing my account and then opening a new one, which with my server takes about 10 to 14 days. And during that time, it's fortunate that I'm going on a week's holiday. So I will be with the program next Friday, but the Friday after, I won't personally be doing this spot. Anyway, just to conclude on this particular item about Nasara, the report did say that we can play this Nasara chess game, better than the dark side, for we have the thought power to create, which they do not have. They can only utilize the negative energy, which they trick us into creating for them. We understand these rules, and we now turn their negativity back upon them with love and light. So there we are. I'm sure the benefits of Nisara are all there waiting to come out. But I think, as I mentioned once before, I really tie that in with first contact. I find it hard to believe that perhaps beyond the issue of some of the prosperity programs, which can only be, I would have thought, a short while before that announcement, that it's not appropriate, really, or the right time to do it. But there you are. Who am I to say? I'm speedily moving on to my UFO spot now. And in the 60s, there was an article that came out in the Flying Saucer Review by John A. Keel, which might be a familiar name to some of you. He did a little survey on reports about what he calls the electromagnetic effect. And it's an interesting report. These are all one-offs, I think. If they get lost, you never see them again. There's some interesting information. So I will read as follows. He said, between the years 1817 and 1821, and mark that time period, 1817 to 1821, there was a strange and sinister influence that settled over the farm of John Bell in Robertson County, Tennessee. Flying lights, and this is how they were quoted as, like a candle or lamp, were frequently seen flitting about the yards and fields near an old farmhouse, and a voice from an apparently invisible source heckled the family and carried on extensive dialogues with visitors and curiosity seekers. And the full story of the celebrated Bell Witch, which is what the phenomena came to be known, has been carefully documented and is too long and complicated to outline here, John Keel meaning in that report. But he said it deserves to be carefully studied, since it and many other causes like it may provide important clues to the overall UFO phenomenon. Now, according to Dr. Nanda Fulda, General Andrew Jackson was one of those attracted to the Bell homestead during the period of the haunting, and as General Jackson's horse-drawn wagon approached the area, the wheels suddenly seemed to freeze, and the straining horses were unable to budge it. So General Jackson dismounted and examined the wheels and axles and was unable to find any reason for this sudden problem. The wheels simply would not go around. Now, as he stood there, scratching his head in bewilderment, a sharp metallic voice suddenly rang out from behind some nearby bushes. "All right, General," the voice announced, "let the wagon move." And to everybody's amazement, the wheels began to turn again. This incident was recorded as just another manifestation of the Bell Witch and was shrugged off by investigators who were more concerned with proving that the phenomenon was caused by an evil spirit or a dead soul than with assembling all of the variegated activities and observations taking place in the area. Actually, if this particular story is true, it may be the first concrete example of what has now become known as the electromagnetic effect, even though no electrical apparatus was involved. Now, General Andrew Jackson went on, of course, to become the 7th President of the United States, his term being from 1829 to 1837, and the Bell Witch eventually was alleged to have caused the death of John Bell before it disappeared into limbo from which it had come. But during one of its many conversations, it was said to have declared, and this is the invisible voice, "I am a spirit from everywhere, heaven, hell, the earth, am in the air, in houses, any place at any time, have been created millions of years. That is all I will tell you." So there we are. The report goes on to say that many thousands of people have heard sharp metallic voices since General Jackson's wagon came to a dead halt in the hills of Tennessee, and that these voices have reportedly emanated from the flying saucers, from caves and abandoned buildings, and even from telephones. And at the same time, there have been hundreds upon hundreds of reports of automobile and airplane engines suddenly stalling in the presence of UFOs, and countless power failures have been blamed upon the optics. That, in the meantime, from the mid-60s to now, has happened so many times, I think it's accepted as a fact that if a vehicle is in the region of the electromagnetic emanation from a UFO, it does seem to affect the electrics. And apparently, according to John Keel in this report, he said that it happened to one person whose flashlight went out instantly. And he actually was able to replace the battery and try it again, and it still wouldn't work. So it proved it wasn't something to do with the original battery in there. And apparently in another interesting incident, a Mr. Willard Henderson, who lived in Belpre, Ohio, reportedly observed a large luminous cigar-shaped object hovering over a dam on the Ohio River in the summer of 1967, and he directed his auto spotlight at it, and his light went out immediately. And it was said that when the spotlight wiring was inspected, it was inexplicably burnt out, suggesting a power surge which did not affect any other part of his automobile. So John Keel concludes, although magnetism undoubtedly plays some role in the mechanics of the flying saucers, it does not seem as if there are various other factors involved in the electromagnetic cases. And he says there is a hillside near Melville, Long Island, where UFOs have frequently been observed in the past 2 years, which of course would be 64-65, and that teenaged UFO buffs in the area told him that battery-powered cameras and tape recorders refused to function there. And he said, I visited the spot several times and discovered that my own equipment failed there, although compasses and magnetic detectors did not reveal any unusual magnetic aberrations. There we are. Interesting subject there. That's what I like about the flying saucer review. I think in the old days, more than now, a lot of work was put in producing those type of articles, and they really came up with some interesting information. Now I come to my other messages, ones of a spiritual nature. I do like to try to get some in, to get some balance in the program, and the reason I have the general news is because the channeled messages, including obviously Sheldon Nidles and my own, indicate that we cannot really move on from our present situation until the last cabal is removed from power. So I'd like to pick up on news items that indicate how that side is going, for no other reason. And we get an idea maybe from that what our chances are seeing the changes very soon. Now, it's true to say that channeled messages, by and large, if they have any message at all, don't really age. So I'm going to take some extracts from one that was originally circulated in January this year. And it was talking about how you create your own destinies. So I'm going to take small extracts, which I think are interesting. One part of it was speaking about how we have been consciously receiving information that goes into uncharted areas of truth discernment, and this has led us unequivocally to conclude that all of you have experienced a truly living, growing reality, and that all these mortals upon, he says, my growing staff were with those who have personally struggled to discern the truth at all costs, even to the extent of allowing the greatest hopes and dreams to be discovered and revealed as wishfully entertained illusions. And he says, I desire not to have those unthinking and hopeful believers who will accept on a platter what can oftentimes turn out to be delusions of the ego mind based on acceptance and unexamined fantasies. My friend, rest assured that as my loyal climbing party is being assembled and we become acclimatized to the altitude here at base camp, that many changes and transformations will be occurring within all those who have truly accepted my call. Now, we're speaking here of a being who's putting this message through called Monjorinson. And if my memory serves me correctly, this is part of the Christ Michael service. And I noted here that this message was originally received by someone called Marshall on the 26th of December 2005. Now, the message goes on to say that as truly you are empowered to create your own realities, as the architects of destiny that you each indeed are, you only need take the steps and great assistance will be at your side. There is no cookbook recipe, my friend, for you are each creators and indeed the co-authors of this cookbook of planetary dynasty, planetary destiny, as we climb into the new age as pioneers on high. Now, in January again, there was a message from a being called Archangel Uriel, and he was saying, create your version of heaven. And I picked it up through an email list that comes out through Karen Carbo's excellent site called Just Channelings. Now, Archangel Uriel said, what do you think heaven is? It is the place where all is at peace, where joy and unconditional love reign. Where there is no hatred, anger, or fear, it is a place where you live in perfection with the knowledge that you are perfection and where you feel safe and secure. But heaven is not a place where you go. It is something that you carry with you every day of your life. It is here with you and accessible to you right now at this moment. With your intention and beliefs, you create your own version of heaven in your life every day. One of the shift's results is the lifting of the veil between the spiritual and material worlds. It is now possible to bring heaven on earth because humanity is moving closer to creating that vibration on this planet. Goes on to say, once you decide that you will create your own version of heaven, where you live in peace and harmony with your soul purpose, work with the universal energy and surrender to your spiritual journey, it will become your reality. Again, he says, the veil between the spiritual and material continues to lift as more of humanity embraces their spirituality and allows the vibration of heaven to reside on the planet. I don't think the statement, dare I say, that says that heaven is only here on earth or worse that effect, doesn't mean there isn't a place which we call heaven in the higher realms. I think once we get off the earth, in fact, that's how we would be likely to describe the vibrations that we would find. Now, it was a very excellent message that came out through Lauren on the 16th of August this year, of course, and it came out through the Palladian High Council. That was an excellent message, and I've marked up some of it to read, or the best part of it, in actual fact. I thought it was excellent. And it was the Palladian High Council talking on coming changes to our economy on a global scale. So here we are. This was from Lauren, or through Lauren, on the 16th of August this year. And the message reads, there is to be a new system put into place that will curtail the shenanigans of the dark cabal. There have been orders from on high that have warranted and justified this account. What we are in the process of overcoming is a level of resistance from your global leaders that will ensure the completion of the economic change. In the past, there have been widely used monetary transfers for little value exchange. In the future, there will be equal exchange of said funds. The amount of value per monetary dollar will be the amount due to each and every consumer and citizen in the United States first, and then globally. This means that the equal transfer of money will eventually balance out the economy worldwide. Historically, there has been corruption in the value system for the purposes of greed and power. Now that the dollar value will have backing, there will be no need for inequality in exchange. This means that those who have invested monies on the dollar will in fact be exchanging those monies for precious metals. In your economy, this will have detrimental effects for those falsely in power. In the end, the fair distribution of funds is something that will override the current control system that your government and corporations hold over you. Likewise, there will be put into effect a new system of exchange that will be based upon the true value of money. This new system will allow for each and every individual to have the opportunity to fairly inherit the wealth they desire. In this system, many will be balancing out much debt accrued from the old and corrupt system of economy. This will curtail the wrongdoings of those who wish to utilize the world economy for domination. This is precisely why the change in economy is such an important venture to embark upon, as currently it is in the wrong hands, for the purpose of world peace and equality, and must be redirected to those of pure heart. Never before has your country witnessed what is about to transpire. It is such a reconstruction of fundamental and core belief systems that it will in fact cause many people's foundations to crumble. This crumbling of society is not as it seems. Contrarily, it is the rebuilding of a new society that those in the know will have the privilege to realize. Knowing this, those who have the power of truth can begin to disseminate these truths to all who will listen. It will be a time of confusion as one world crashes and a new world emerges. But in the laws of universal energy, it is a necessary component to reform. That which can no longer resonate with the higher laws must leave. There is not the possibility for the working of egoistic power to maintain the level of control that man once revered. It is now time to turn the tables, and the meek shall truly inherit the earth. Once you had a saying that what goes up must come down, we say to you that is clearly the case. Those who have maintained the upper hand in dominating the ways of the people are now to come crashing down in demise. This will take the form of public reconciliation at best. Those who wish to hold on to the ways of the old shall quickly realize that they are fighting a losing battle. It will be the time of uplifting for all who have been held back, and a time of dismantling for those who have unerringly maintained power over others. What we wish for all of you is a transition of ease. We will be doing our part from the Interplanetary Councils of Light. Our purpose in this joint venture will be to hold and maintain the amount of light necessary for all of those who wish to come aboard. This means that you will all have the advantage of the energy of transmutation for the purposes of the resurrection of your lives. We will be disabling all systems of old and opening doors of opportunity for new. We will be shutting in and out of your atmospheric density. Sorry, I'll reread that. We will be shuttling in and out of your atmospheric density daily for the purposes of assisting mankind in the chaos that may ensue. Though we wish for a most peaceful and gregarious outcome, there are still those who do not. This will not present a problem any longer for those who are due to emerge victoriously. Together we have cleared the way for a new path, and that path cannot withstand the lower densities of your current paradigm. To that we would add that those who are ready now for the elevation to their cosmic being in truth will indeed have the opportunity to attain it. This will be a joyous time for those who have studiously and repetitively looked onward and upward in faith of a better world. That world is becoming apparent to you now. Take with you all the swords of faith to cut through all the extraneous details that will present themselves to you in the name of residual and karmic conflict. Use your swords to cut through the illusion and see to the truth. The truth will always set you free, but sometimes the truth is elusive. This will be a time of clear choosing for many. This will be the time of reconciliation for those who choose, and a time of continued conflict for those not ready to make the choice. For those in the latter group, there will be ample opportunities for each and every one to turn to the light when ready. As always, it is the choice and free will of man that will determine the path to righteousness. For those who are ready to claim their godhood, know that your time has arrived in earnest. The next few weeks of your time will be chaotic. This chaos could prove to be a necessary evil for the purposes of seeing truth. Those who never thought to question their reality will now be in advantageous position to do so. For those who have always questioned reality, you'll see that the new reality you choose will be more aptly suited to your being. We are the Palladian High Council, and our job is to ensure smoothest possible transition from the outworkings of the old paradigm to the new. We assure you that you are being guided appropriately and that all is in perfect order. We wish now to resend you all with your God-given inheritance, abundance for all. No longer shall you scrape to make ends meet. No longer shall you endure the drudgeries of life. The new monetary system will ensure this. Take great care to involve yourselves in your dreams. For those who dream the biggest shall finally expose the goodwill of man. No longer will man be driven by greed and power, but by love and compassion. This is the purpose of changing the energy behind money. Soon you'll be lifted to a society where the exchange of money will be superfluous. In the meantime, there is plenty to go round. Farewell from the councils of light, and may good fortune surround each of you in the coming days. We are as close as ever, and we'll ensure your success. Farewell. They are quite a long message, but very good, I thought. Excellent. Again, without naming it, there are actual references, I feel, to what we generally call the prosperity funds. But I think the more sources that confirm that type of message, the better it is. I mean, it's nice to have confirmation. I think it would be odd if it only came through a single source. Now, I shall finish up the program with short extracts here, because I only have a limited number of minutes left. And again, this is an item that came through in Karen Carbo's Just Channeling. So this was one that was headed No Pain and No Gain. And again, this was one of Archangel Uriel's messages. And I take an extract out which says, our reality is created through our beliefs. So if we believe that pain must occur before we achieve our goals, we will spend time suffering before we receive our blessings. And the no pain, no gain belief can extend into many areas of our life. We can even have the belief that we are a better person if we suffer, or that the more we suffer, the greater our reward will be. What we are just beginning to learn is that we can have the rewards without the suffering, and that the no pain, no gain mentality is a thing of the past. If we have the no pain, no gain mentality, we essentially tell ourselves that pain is a prerequisite for all of the good in our lives. If that is the case, are there goals that we avoid or things that we would not ask for because we don't want to experience the pain? Once we rid ourselves of the no pain, no gain mentality, we can move forward through manifestation process much more quickly, because we can eliminate the pain and suffering and move on to enjoying what we manifest. It's an easy process to identify what do you think you have to suffer, emotionally, financially, materially, or in terms of time or effort, to receive what you have asked for. That's the pain. Give it to the universe and simply manifest your desires and watch them roll into your life painlessly. Right, well, I think that's about it. I've possibly got 1 minute left. I would quickly comment that my own messages of late have rather confirmed what is generally coming through from the Galactic Federation in Sheldon Nidal's messages. Everything really does seem very close to a major happening, which will at last enable the announcement of first contact. So, I'm tempted to say keep our fingers crossed, but maybe we don't need such superstitions. So, I'll thank you for being with me again, and I'll hope to be with you all again next week. Thank you, and may God bless you all.